Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In this passage, Paul is enumerating the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. They are many: redemption, adoption, grace, eternal inheritance, acceptance. In verse 12, Paul explains why we have these blessings. It's because we first trusted in Jesus. We sing the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, to take Him at His word." It's perhaps one of our most beloved and beautiful songs. The story behind the song is very, very sweet. It was written by Louisa M. Arstead in 1882 and set to music by William J. Kirkpatrick in the same year. According to several sources, Louisa Stead and her daughter, they were stricken with poverty after her husband drowned trying to save a young child off of Long Island. She wrote this hymn after finding that someone had left her some food and money one day on her doorstep. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." What does it mean to trust? Trust is the act of depending on someone else to do what is needed. Something that we can't do, we look to others for things that we cannot do ourselves. We must let go of self to trust someone else. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Take your Bibles and turn with me there, please. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This ought to be one of the ones that you have marked in your Bible. And if it's not on your memory list, you ought to place it near the top. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Trust. You want to know who to trust, it must be outside yourself, outside those that can err. When it comes to salvation, you can't trust in that which will err. You must trust upon the God that offers salvation. Abraham depended upon God to do what was needed. There were visitors to Abraham's house. It turned out to be Jehovah and the angels of the Lord. They were going to notice Sodom and Gomorrah, go and see what was going on there. And Abraham remembered that his cousin was over there, his nephew actually. His nephew Lot was over there in the cities of the plains. And he began to question God. "Will the Lord of all the earth, will the God of all the earth, do that which was right?" At the end of it, he had to trust that God would go and see, and if there were righteous there, that those righteous would survive. And so Lot did. Lot did survive. With Jesus, it is a depending upon Him to do what is needed and right. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "Who can help us? The Lord Jehovah knows. The Lord Jehovah sent someone in particular to take care of us, even though we were unlovely, even though we were in sin. God sent the right person at the right time to take care of us, you and me." Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In whom can we trust? It's going to be Christ, the one that was sent. He will continue to do what is right. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, after the giving of the Great Commission, he said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." Not something he's going to pick up and then leave off, perhaps at some unsuspecting time. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Trust means that we take someone at their word. Many people don't feel forgiven. Many people don't feel like they're saved. But what they are actually saying is that when Jesus says you're saved, you just don't believe it. It's not a feeling. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with facts. A transaction has been made. And we can trust that we are saved even though we don't feel like we're saved. Pray to God for forgiveness. We don't feel particularly forgiven, but God says we are, and so says the Scriptures, and so we are forgiven. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.'" Now between Jesus and Simon, who was the master fisherman? Now worldly speaking, you know the answer. It was Simon. He is the one that has spent his life in that kind of work. But when it comes to Jesus, he is the master of heaven and earth. He is the master of the sea. He is the master of the human heart. He is the master of the demon world. Who are you going to trust? Jesus said there's fish. Let down your nets. There's no sense in you going away from the sea without something to show for it. Let me show you who is the master fisherman. It was Jesus. "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Who can you trust? Now, Jesus is going to ask a lot from the disciples, isn't he? He's going to ask them to leave their homes and go from place to place, oftentimes without a place to lay their head. They would have to do makeshift many times in order to sleep at night, not knowing where their next meal was going to come from, not knowing if Jesus was going to lead them through places that were not safe. But Jesus showed them he's the one in control. He's the one with power. You know, this is something for us today. Many of us are not going to be asked to go out like the apostles did in a place where there's no adequate place to stay or food to eat. It was provided for you in some way, somehow. Jesus was going to take care of things, but you couldn't see it ahead of time. Go from place to place, and in the United States, there's If you go to Texas, for example, you're going to find two places that you know are going to be there for you to eat. There's going to be a Dairy Queen, and there's going to be a Whataburger. If not one, then the other. But there's some place for you to spend a little money and get something to eat. There's going to be a Motel 6. There's going to be a place to stay somewhere, somehow. You know there is. It's just going to be there. That's our life now. But we're not limited to this particular country. We may be asked by God, by circumstance, to go into a foreign country. And we, not knowing where to go or what to do, well, we simply have to trust. Go to Africa. Where's the Whataburger? It's 10,000 miles away. Where's the Dairy Queen? You know it's not going to be there. Where's the place to stay? It may be under your own net somewhere, hoping that the mosquitoes don't get to you. It may be someplace that you don't want to go. But we are asked to trust that God will be with us. And lo, I am with you always. You know, those words mean something tangible. They don't mean something ethereal that you can't understand. No, they mean something with regard to your life right now. We are asked to do various things, to represent God at your place of employment. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are asked by God to represent Him with our family. We have jobs to do with regard to our family. We have people that depend upon us, that trust in us. And lo, I am with you always. Maybe there's too many kids. Maybe there's too many relatives, and all of a sudden it's your job to feed them. And lo, I am with you always. Your parents get older and they need your help. They used to be able to provide for themselves, but now it's your job. And lo, I am with you always. God calls upon us to do so many things. To go to our neighbor and take the gospel. To look for opportunities. We may be embarrassed about it. Someone may chide us for bringing us that old-fashioned thing. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're called upon to trust, and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, to take Him at His word. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, please. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water." Put yourself in Peter's place. You're seeing, you don't know what. You're afraid because you don't know how to deal with those things that you've never seen. Jesus calls out to you, says, "Don't be afraid." He's walking on the water. And you say, "Bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." What do you do? You've already asked Him to call you. But are you afraid to come out on the water? Remember who it is you can trust. Peter, for a short period of time, imperfectly, if you will, trusted Jesus. And he began to step out on the water. And when he had sent them, chapter 14, 26, verse 28. And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What? What did Peter do? He walked on water. This matter of trust is a powerful thing. It calls us to do some things. We have to get outside of ourselves. If you had met me at 17, you wouldn't believe that I would be up here now. It simply would not be possible. You would see that there's someone who will not speak in public, has rejected it always, even in small groups. First time I took public speaking, I was in junior high, 7th grade. At that point, I was on the advanced track in academics. But right after that, I wasn't anymore. Because that class, I utterly and totally failed. Public speaking class. The speeches were only 3 minutes. All you had to do was do a little research and tell people about your research. But I got up in front of people and could not speak. It took a few years before I was able to do that. I had to do some trusting, and I went through song leading in order to be able to stand up and speak before people. It may be that some of you have a problem going to your neighbor, and it may take a special circumstance in order for you to be able to do it. You don't think you can do it right now. As my grandfather always told me, you don't know what you can do until you have to. You just have to convince yourself you have to. That it's something you're required by the God of heaven and earth to do. We have a big job. We used to say there are 4 billion people on this planet when I was 20 years ago. And now, how many? I think it's 7 billion now. That we have the job to take to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to trust someone bigger than ourselves to do that job. To go out and take the gospel from here to there. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You ever get that feeling when you reach out in trust and you begin to, wow, I'm doing it. And things are happening that are out of my control. And it doesn't feel good, and you began to fold in on yourself again. Call out to God, to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. And He reaches down a hand. I wonder how many missionaries have come to this point right here. They're off in a foreign land in places they don't, you can't find them on the map. They go to places where you couldn't find your way home if you had to. You know particular directions, north, south, east, and west, but you couldn't find your way home without a guide, and you become afraid of what's going to happen to you. Perhaps there's some unrest in that country. Perhaps people are not listening to you, and you don't know what to do about it. And so you're like Peter. You look at the winds and the waves, and you start to sink. You become depressed. Where do you go? Who do you trust? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus is there with you as you go from place to place needing to teach someone the gospel. In a foreign land where you don't know the rules, Jesus is there with you. He knows how to take care of you. And if it comes to the point that death is required of you, it's just not possible for you to live there, whether by disease or whether by violence or some other means, you die, Jesus knows how to take care of you. There's a place prepared for you, John 14, verse 3. A place prepared for you where your treasures are laid up. Consider Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Jesus has this privilege and power that when He says something, it comes to pass. It never is vain. Trust means believing someone's promise. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Consider Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Abraham believed in God. Believed in God when God said, I will make you a father of many nations. And God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. What is sweet about trust? When we completely and totally trust someone, we have no worries. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following is classic on this particular matter. When we totally trust God, when we do those things that God has called on us to do, and we trust Him, we have no worries. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 adds to this particular idea. Jesus says, why are ye anxious? Don't be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 4, verse 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We don't have to do it all ourselves. Have you ever doubted your own ability? Only every day. Only all day. There are some things that I don't feel like I can do. And yet God says, go do them. We do it imperfectly, but God is the one that sees to it that things are done. Have you ever doubted your own ability? Consider Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things Not just all things because I'm so great, or I'm so talented, or I've gone to the best schools, or any other thing that's driven by pride. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So many people have said so many things about what that means until you come to the conclusion that it really doesn't mean anything. But if it's in there, it means something. If it means anything, it means those things that Jesus has given us to do, that we can do them through Him who gives us strength. It's in the same line as, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Some things that we can't do ourselves. We can't control the universe. We want to go somewhere on a short pleasure trip. We can't control the weather. There may be, it may come a front that causes us to get back undercover. We're just not getting out that day. It causes us to fear for our safety. We can't control the universe, but Jesus can. Ephesians 1, verses 21 and 22. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church." Jesus has that kind of power. He has that kind of authority. We can't trust in our own righteousness to save us. We cannot be good enough in order to be saved. Well, if you're good enough, you don't need to be saved. "But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3, verse 23. But Jesus, He has the righteousness to be able to save us. Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Where is the righteousness we need? It's in Christ. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We can't bring ourselves back from the dead. There's an appointment we must make. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We are going to die if Jesus doesn't come first. But resurrection requires we be alive. We can't bring ourselves back. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. Jesus can. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." It's sweet to trust in Jesus when we feel as if the whole world is out of control. It's then that we can put our complete trust in Him, and He will provide whatever it is we need. We may not have a long life. It may be that our lives are required of us here on this earth. But there's a place prepared. And even if we're not safe in this world, there's a destination. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3. Why do we trust Jesus? Because He offered His life for our salvation. We trust people that offer. Some people can't have power to perhaps feed us, but they won't. Some people can keep us safe, but they don't care. Some people can do things for us for our future, but won't. But Jesus, He cares. Not only does He have the power, not only does He have the will, but He has offered, and we can trust in Him. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Sometimes I think we say that so many times that we lose the meaning. Something nice to say. But what is it that is offered? What is it that has been given? God gave something to you and to me, to the world. That is His Son. And His Son, we can trust Him for what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Perishing is the thing. Sins cause us to perish. Sins cause us to not be able to stand before God in purity and holiness. Sins give us a destination that is called hell. Sins is what we need to get out of. And that's what God did for us. And we can trust Jesus for that. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do the things which I command you. What has He commanded us? We want to get out of sins. We must follow His direction. His ambassador, His representative in the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago made a statement inspired by Jesus Himself. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. That He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Because God declared Him to be His Son by the resurrection of the dead, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, because He is now in control of all things, Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, in these last days God speaks through His Son, because He has all authority, Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, because without Him there is no hope. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, because Jesus keeps His promises. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Remember, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Right now, this moment in time, 2018, the month of June, do you personally trust in Jesus? He's made serious promises that if we follow Him, that if we obey Him, that eternal life follows. Are you counting on eternal life right now? Do you have that hope? If not, it must be, it has to be, that you're not obeying Him and have not done those things that make for eternal life. Do you trust Him today? He's calling you. And it's sweet to trust in Him. If you need to be baptized for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of your sins, make that your priority right now. Do you believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? Are you willing to confess Him before men that He is your Savior? Are you willing to subject yourselves to baptism and then live faithfully? All too often, people go up to that point of baptism and are baptized, and then they don't bother with it anymore. Let me make the statement that that's not trusting in Jesus. That's trusting in yourself, that you can be good enough in order to be saved. But if you have fallen from the good way and need to make it known that you're returning, let it be so now. If we can assist you, why don't you come sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing. So